The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Take the Stock. It's Thursday, the 19th of October, 2023. The year is zooming by. As you can probably tell from John's tan, he's back from Wales. You're right, John.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. Long drive.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you've gone from your brother pointed out, the widest part of Britain, the UK. I've done that journey quite a few times because some of the beaches in Wales, West Wales, are really nice.
That's amazing.
From the east to the west, how long was that drive?
6 and a bit hours.
Was that in an EV car?
It wasn't. But I managed to get 450 miles range out of my very fuel-efficient petrol car.
Oh, okay, that's what you did. Yeah, well, I did say, actually, with Paul Hill chatting to him yesterday, and, you know, people have this range anxiety about EVs. And there's a stat out there saying that 75% of the journeys we take are less than 5 miles. So I think, you know, if anything, get a small little EV for pottering around to go to the shops and stuff. And if you need the longer journeys, just then take a petrol or diesel car, you know, whatever you need. Let me just share this with you, John. I'm going to share this. Where is it? I'm going to my rather than just put it back on the blog. I'm going to share the screen here. This is the AIM All Share. That's my Twitter feed there. I said, how long can the AIM All Share index keep dropping? The last 20 sessions, it's been down for 16, which is 80%. The index is now 47.89% down 772 days. But it was at, in 20 years ago, it was at 785 points. It's now at 685 points. It's 100 points lower than it was 20 years ago. And in fact, these are some of the, they were the biggest. You know, look at that, the biggest. Look at now, the change in the share price from 5 years ago, this was. Boohoo, ASOS are up the top there. 86, 93% are down. There's only one riser, Gamma Communications. But I suppose, in fact, someone did point out, saying, that's handy, that chart, because you can see which businesses have changed and which haven't, which have just, you know, drifted down with the market sentiment and will return to previous highs or former glories. So maybe it's worth looking at. But
how many of the largest companies moved up to the main market? That would be my question.
Yeah.
So is that companies that are still on AIM, or is that companies that have moved up as well?
No, they're companies, I think it's still on AIM, yeah.
Still on AIM, yeah. So you would expect the AIM index to suffer, you know, as its companies mature and decide that a main listing is what they want, which is why it's not really a trackable index. You know, is that sort of stepping stone?
Yeah.
Well, that's the theory.
Stock pickers market, isn't it? You've got to pick the winners. If you pick the losers, you're in big trouble, because they can go, you know, more than 99% down, and they can go bust, essentially, because they're a startup company. By the way, and I did say there, just on comments-wise, a couple of favours as always, but feel free to comment if you haven't commented. By all means, like it and download the Vox Markets app. It is, I think, the best delivery system out there for RNSs. And normally, if you chase RNSs down, like in your email inbox or to the website, with Vox Markets app, it gives them to you. Wherever you are, walking the dog, in the supermarket, you know, just follow the companies you want. It's free to download, free to use. And once you start using it, you'll never look back, honestly. And a couple of times, you know, I've been sort of walking the dog, wow. And if I hadn't looked at, if I hadn't got that, I wouldn't have seen the RNS. But there's a market today. Look at that. For once.
Be green.
The AIM All Share. Point, it's been up for a while. The only times it's been up, I don't know if it lasts a day.
It might not last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
0.09% up.
Yeah, exactly. In the risers, you've got Admiral, Spirit, Sarco, London Exchange.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've got a couple of big engineers there, Spirax and Halma. I'm not really sure what data is supporting them.
Look at Rentokil, in fact.
It's not a lot, isn't it?
I think AI commented on that. It says a comment, Rentokil's down 15%. That's a lot for a big company.
It really is.
Move, no news out.
Well, there is news. But it's read across from the sector on the market.
Okay. Yeah.
So on the market is being bought by an American company.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rightmove is, you know, the undisputed heavyweight leader. Champion of its sector. You know, obviously has the biggest position with the UK's estate agency group. It's been around for longer. But, you know, you've now got a couple of really serious competitors out there, Zoopla being one of them, of course, which is owned by private equity now, it's part of another UK company, and on the market. And on the market has been, is basically being taken over by an American company called CoStar,
Yeah.
Just shy of 100 million quid. And, you know, that's probably a worry if you're a Rightmove shareholder, to suggest that On the Market has very much got its eye on the UK, CoStar has got its eye on the UK market.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And do you know what? There's some awful news, actually. I mean, if you, I'll bring it down. It's going to the bottom of you straight away. Look at that. US mortgages rates have been 2-decade high of 8% these 20 years. And this is even more worrying. Look at this. When you see figures like this, US mortgage applications flow plunges to the lowest since 1995. That's phenomenal.
It is. Well, if you remember, we did one of these shows where we talked about, you know, is there further to fall on house prices? And we got huge numbers of views from the US. I think there are serious worries there about the property market, as there are here, perhaps to a lesser extent. But
the problem in America is they don't have, apparently, they don't have something, say, short-term fixed, do they? They have more longer term.
Very long.
People now are worrying about, coming off as long-term fixed. It's gone up to 8%. They've gone from wherever they are. And if you look at that, if the mortgage applications are down, you can see why people are starting to worry now about the recession in the US. Because, as I said, the housing building market and all of that is a huge stimulus for the rest of the economy. It flows into so many other different trades, doesn't it? I mean, you know, like the building merchants, all that, everyone, you're hiring plumbers, DIY, all that kind of stuff. So when you put a chokehold on house building and people not buying new houses, then, you know, the entire economy sort of slows down,
which is important.
What the Fed want to do, really, isn't it? Let's be honest. You know?
Yeah, but I guess, you know, the sort of memories of the housing collapse, you know, in 2008 are fairly fresh in a lot of people's minds as well.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of trouble can come from the property market, as you say.
Yeah.
On the market's numbers, we're actually pretty good. But this sort of goes to show that, you know, picks and shovels rather than the houses themselves are probably where you want to be at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So AI investor Rentokil hammered this morning after an underwhelming trading update. I'm glad my stop loss kicked in and got me out without being too battered. You know, nearly got caught in the trap there, the mouse trap.
Hey,
but nice. Let's have a look at Rentokil. So rent or kill? Where is that? There we go.
I mean, it's...
Oh, look at that chart there on the... Oh, look at that.
Wow.
And that was a bit of a downtrend. You can see that it's rolling over anyway. You can see straight away there, lower high, and then that was coming in a downtrend anyway. But if you look at it, I mean, they do manage to cover it up quite well, don't they? Because it's only in the outlook. I was looking at the falls
here. Yeah, exactly.
And you scroll down, Rentokil is the third biggest faller, and that's including all the tiddlers out there, and it's a 12 billion pound company and Q3 trading update. And if you scroll, it's all okay until you scroll on the outlook, and it says, in North America, we remain mindful of the macroeconomic backdrop. Near term market uncertainty means the region's full year performance is anticipated marginally below previous expectations. So, in fact, of that,
you'd have thought that was brilliantly. There's apparently a global outbreak of bed bugs, causing all sorts of problems.
Is that in France, isn't it?
In France,
I'm
worried that it's going to come over here. They have had that in America before. New York had a big problem with it many years ago. But yeah, I mean, this is extraordinary. I mean, it's a downgrade, but it's not, you know, it doesn't look...
That's the thing.
It doesn't warrant a fall of that magnitude.
When you get that on a big cap stock falling 15% like that, you imagine that, I mean, you put out a profits warning and you're a small cap, it does do 30 to 50%. You know, that's what it's like with small caps. They rise faster, they fall faster.
They're talking about group revenues, outcome in line with expectations. So, you know, everything is getting savage. This is why I've said before, I really don't think, you know, the effects of what's happening in the economy have yet filtered through into a lot of earnings forecasts, which is why I do think, you know, although, as we've spoken about, the market and the economy are different things, I think there is still stuff to filter through from this period of, you know, rising inflation and interest rates that isn't showing up in earnings yet and is going to catch people by surprise.
Yeah. Rifzov says AIM will never go up. I hold AIM stocks because they're cheap and Miss Whiplash isn't. Yeah, the index may struggle. Gregory says, I wouldn't feel safe driving my kids around in an EV. They catch fire. And doing seatbelts, getting kids out of the back seats, not for me. Do they really? How many instances have you seen where a car catches fire, though, and someone's been caught inside?
I do worry. I mean, I do, you know. I mean,
it doesn't happen. How often does that happen?
I saw some stats the other day which just suggests it happens, you know, on fewer occasions than it does with you know, diesel cars.
Yeah, there we are.
I mean, this goes back to a much bigger problem I think we have, and it's not about whether, you know, EVs are better than diesels when it comes to safety, but actually the amount of, you know, dubious information that floats around the internet and is magnified by social media. It's almost becoming impossible to work out what's true and what's not.
This is a good little site. If you see that, I posted this yesterday. It shows you basically what we're looking at. You know, this is now the national grid. This is what we're using. You know, 50% pretty much renewables. 28. I didn't realize how much it changed so much. And
changes every day. Past week,
you can see that the, if you go to all time, you can see fossil fuels, massive, small green renewables. Past year, look at that, getting bigger. Past week, even bigger. Even, the wind is blowing heavily. So wind is doing very well. Look at that. It's doing 39% of our energy. That's phenomenal, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, it is phenomenal. It is absolutely phenomenal.
When you go back to 10 years, for example, tiny percentage of that.
But again, all the information out there that's telling us that, you know, that how terrible wind power is and the intermittency means that, you know, it can never supply, you know, the nation's needs, that it requires heavy subsidies. We've just seen a proposal gone in for a subsidy-free wind farm in Holland recently. You know, it's, as I say, this, I mean, there just seems to be so many vested interest groups, you know, putting stuff out there. Yeah, and it's just becoming impossible to filter what's true and what's not. It's become very irritating. I'm going off on a massive tangent that, you know, there has got to be some responsibility for social media platforms to really kind of, you know, stop this.
Dagger 888. All decent firms move up from AIM. With poor liquidity, there'll be less startups on AIM driving the index down. No, I think it's a good thing that some of these that crap companies get taken out. And this is a natural cleansing cycle. When you see the capital markets freezing up, the companies that are not good businesses, I always believe good businesses will find a way to get access to funding because they're good, and good investors can see that, and they'll be paid to invest money because they get a return.
The thing is, Justin, that funding might come from other sources, private sources.
Yeah, they may do.
You know, there is this big concern about this de-equitization trend.
Yeah.
And, you know, private money is a big part of that. And, you know, companies, you know, as they listing is expensive, and, you know, I think a lot of companies are struggling to justify that expense. And, yeah, especially when you consider all the sort of regulatory requirements that listed companies have. So again, you know, there are clear indications that markets are broken. Yeah.
They're temporary frozen.
That's broken.
The thing is, it's because of interest rates completely. That's what it is. But they'll come down next year, and all of a sudden, people won't be getting a good return on, you know, why would people want to invest in the stock market looking for, you know, a couple of percentage returns that you just chuck it in a safe government bond or in a savings account for a year for 5% or something?
Well, yeah, I mean, look at Hargreaves' numbers today. Hargreaves Lansdown had us trading updates today.
Okay, let's go over the join.
A lot of customers seeking the sanctity of cash.
Trading statement.
Not a bad statement. The shares were down. You know, actually sort of minor increase in assets under management in net inflows. But yeah, huge cash balances. And as they say, look, you know, you've got active savings performing well.
Yeah.
Customers favouring cash savings over risk-based investments. I mean, that seems, you know, safety first seems to be the way that a lot of people are investing or saving at the moment.
Well, so the reason why they're down here, is that because the net client growth of 8,000 the quarter and Q1 it was 17,000, primarily driven by net new clients? Okay, so is that what? So, because if you look at AJ Bell, for example, they've gone up today and their figures.
Oh, their numbers are much. Their numbers are much stronger. I mean, they, you know, their growth is much, much, much quicker.
Customer numbers increased by 50,000 to close to 476, up 12%. To me, that's they're both. If you look at the charts, they're both record assets under administration of 70 billion. How much has Hargreaves Lansdown got?
It's just significant.
They got 70.9 billion. But let's look at the chart. They're like for like charts wise. But it seems to me like, you know, look at Hargreaves Lansdown. It's just literally in a downtrend even further now. That's why I said, careful of the range. Informa, having a go at me there, saying, I'm glad you're back, John. All Justin needs to talk about is charts and where he got out at the top on every stock. No, it didn't. But that's an example. We look at the trading range there. And I did say, you know, you can trade a range, but be careful because it could break down from the range. You're better off trading uptrend. And look at what's happened there. You know, you've seen that range there almost breaking down. It's kind of here. AJB, Bell. Let's look at that. Is that performing any bit? Again, you know, that similar chart. I mean, it's rolled over. It only IPO'd back in 2019, 2018. But, it's, you know, look at that. Historic lows. Both of them are. There's so many opportunities in the market. There's so many companies that are decent businesses that are literally at lows. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. You know, conserve your cash, guys, ladies and gentlemen, because I think it's a bountiful opportunity coming in 2024. Really is. Don't be tempted to jump in here and now. Until the interest rates come down, there's no point doing it because, you say, people are parking their cash elsewhere. Once that erodes and there's no savings to be had in banks and whatever, money market funds, it'll go to the market. Simple as that. Money inflow. And that's what charts are. Money inflow, money outflow. Simple as that.
It will happen. It will happen. It's just, you know, how long does this you know, painful period last?
Yeah.
It's been, you know, this on the market shows, you know, there are great companies out there being snapped up on the cheap. We saw it. Yeah. We've seen it regularly this year. Regularly.
Let's look at the front page of Fox here. Obia. Ondine Biomedical, look at that yesterday. They've got this sort of photos, this light they can put in your body, light waves that can kill antimicrobial disease. And this made me laugh because I remember Trump at a COVID press conference once talking about, can we get some light into the body? Can we just, you know, get some light? And everyone sort of laughed at him. And then he talked about bleach. But this company does it. They should look in the technique. They're very early stage. They're not even in clinical trials yet. They're in sort of in vitro. But it's very interesting technology. AssetCo is one of the most fun. I mean, Paul talked about those. He's a good fund and literally some sort of star fund manager in charge of that. But it is, again, seemingly very undervalued compared to what they have. And I said, Paul, when the market turns, companies like that will do very well. Same with Hargreaves and all those kind of companies. They'll just do well. It's the market sentiment, isn't it?
It is. Okay. It is. So, I mean, so we had some other fund managers reporting today. Fund manager against Rathbone Brothers.
Okay. Not the Rathbone Brothers.
Rathbone Brothers.
Yeah, all right, son.
Yeah, T-shirts. Rathbone Brothers. But it's a, you know, really nice company, really good sort of wealth investment manager. Again, you know, it's sort of seeing a steady trickle of inflows. Not, you know, no, certainly no disaster. But then look at that chart. You know, this whole sector is just, it's just so out of favour.
Rat. Yeah, that should be Rendakill. That should be Rendakill sticker, shouldn't it? Rat.
It should, shouldn't it? It should.
Why did they go for a rat?
Rathbone Brothers probably already had it.
I know, but why didn't Rathbones go for Rath? It's a bit more market than Rat. You know, I suppose people remember Rat. But yeah, again, decent companies rolling over. You know, coming down, almost hitting new lows again. But anyway, let's look at most read vast resources in Tajikistan update. And Victor's written something, a piece about this here. Advances. First lead zinc shipment and MOU for Aprelequag gold mines.
Trafigura. Is it down today?
It's down on that news. Yeah, down by. I thought we'd be up on that.
You were. But I mean, it's the second part of it is quite interesting. They're doing they're working with some kind of memorandum of understanding and. On a takeover through one of their strategic partners, and they seem to be providing sort of some, you know, some form of services to that. It's going to spend about 10 minutes, you know, to work out what it means.
I was a little confused. I read it twice, actually, and that's why I handed it over to you here. So what's going on here?
Confusing. I think it's largely good news. It gives a little bit of... you know, potential upside from the work that they're doing for their partner Bay. So I mean, I don't know why the shares are down on that news.
Exactly, it's largely good news. Why the share price come down? One of the biggest risers there is McBride.
So
McBride, explain what they do again. Obviously,
own label, private label household products, cleaning.
And they've had personal care. Trading update.
Decent. I mean, they could smash their operating profit forecast. 8 million ahead of internal forecasts the first 3 months of the year.
That's massive.
I guess, you know, there's several things are at play. One, you know, volumes of private label are going up. You know, they're cheaper than, branded alternatives. So, you know, they're picking up share as consumers abandon their favourite brands. And they've had a bit of a tailwind, I guess, recently from some retreating energy prices.
Yeah, okay.
But you know, they are conscious, as they say in the statement, that may not last. And I think I've mentioned to you before that this has always been sort of inversely correlated with the oil price.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'm reading across, you know, to one of my holdings, Unilever, thinking, don't like the look of this so much. If the cost of living squeeze is really that hard that you know, we're seeing, you know, such huge growth in private label, then I suspect you'll see it, you know, showing itself up in falling volumes that are branded. Own brand, yeah.
So they're supplying
supermarkets or Superdrug or whatever it might be.
I think the trend is definitely going that way for the majority of people. Like I said, years ago, people were ashamed to put own brand stuff, you know, on the till and the conveyor belt. But these days, you're stupid if you don't, because there are certain, like I said, branded products that you can't do without, like I said, a while
back. Marmite, for example.
Yep. Yeah, well, do you know what? No, I've had Aldi stuff for that, and that's fine. I think.
Really?
I mean, I bought, in fact, the other day, I thought I was being quite frugal. I bought Asda Digestive, McVitie Digestives, you know, rich tea, this is. Digestives. And bought them back, and my wife said to me, about half an hour later, she said, Justin, you know, we got a good relationship and we can talk about anything. I said, oh, what's going on here? I don't like those cheap biscuits. and she does buy sort of own brand. There's certain things you can't replace. You know, like with fitties, for example, you can't replace her. And tea bags, let's say, to a certain extent, tea bags sometimes, it's like a bag of sawdust from own brand sometimes. It's like a waste of time.
Yeah. But, I mean, McBride, I spoke to them once. You know, they said to me that, you know, the trend was first of all towards things like, you know, cleaning products. You know, you don't care what you spray on a countertop, you know. But people were more reluctant to use, say, private label own brand deodorants, for example. You know, people are more fussy about what they put on their body than what they put on down their kitchen sink. And that's understandable. But the trend is changing. I think you're right. And I went into Superdrug the other day to pick up some you know, personal hygiene products, and the prices were mind blowing. Eye-wateringly expensive. So yeah, enough to kind of destroy demand destruction of branded products because the price increase is just so high.
John, it's a bit of missing you here. Nice to see John back from his Kashmir convention included. Emmy says, really good to have the bear back today. The ramper guy needs a partner, the bear. Well, I'm not a ramper guy. What am I ramping?
I'm not a bear. I'm not really a bear either. I'm just, you know, pragmatic. I'm not a pragmatic view.
Yeah. Gregory said, yeah, he has a bear. Gregory said, I'm not proud. I shop at Aldi. I bring my own M&S bags, though. Yeah, just bring your M&S bags. That's it.
I take my Aldi bags to Waitrose.
Yeah, there we are. That's flipping it for you. All right. What else is there? By the way, scroll down. So Tirupati, it's obviously, I haven't really read it in depth, but it's, I don't think it's very good because it's down 16%. And so, you know.
It's sort of cranking up shipments. You know, it seems.
Why are they down?
I again, was struggling to work. I think there's been some softness in the graphite price that they refer to. But yeah. Oh, there you go.
Oh, here we go. Being subdued, yeah. But graphite market's been subdued in recent months, reflecting confidence in our business strategy.
Okay. They need to raise some, they need debt funding as well for
okay.
The line above. See?
Let's have a look. TGR, Tirupati graphite, that's definitely downtrend there. It's you know, if you find a stock in an uptrend, it's hey, go for it. Atlantic Lithium statement, media speculation. I hate those media speculators. What are they speculating about now? They're saying in relation to the company's mining lease, which is of course the big deal, that's what everyone's waiting for the Awoya project in Ghana. The company confirms there's not yet been granted a mining license in respect to the project. There's no certainty as to when this may occur. The company will update the market with developments as and when is appropriate. This is why you need to get the Vox Markets app, because when that comes out, you know, you can literally, as soon as it comes out, you could buy some shares. And 90% of the market wouldn't know it's out there.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen that. They've got the Ghanaian government pretty much investing $32 million into the project, because if they decided not to grant the mining license, it'd be financial suicide by the Ghanaian mining fund, wouldn't it? So
yeah, I'm not sure they've actually put that money in yet. I think they made.
Oh, have they?
I'm not sure. I thought they'd made a commitment, but that it was still ongoing. The confirmation of that. But there have been other developments. You know, we talked about the sort of
diverting power lines,
power, all that power stuff. Diversion. You know, they've got there is a very supportive government there.
Gunali Mills Income agrees to invest $32.9 million in the Cape Coast. When's it happening? I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Agreement is non-binding. So I mean, it's likely to happen.
I think it's a high probability, really.
High probability. Yeah, there's a high probability of everything happening here. But you know, it's,
everything.
No, I mean, the mining license and the investment, which are obviously related. So this is a great project. I guess things take time. This isn't a planning permission for a single story rear extension. This is a huge, huge project.
It's one of the biggest 10 lithium mines in the world. That's huge. When you realise we need a lot of lithium, and you go around the world looking at the mines and realise this is one of the 10 biggest in the top 10. You know, it's it is massive. Yeah.
Yeah. Massive.
Update suspension. They've applied. So they said once the company's full report and accounts have been uploaded to the website, Setter will be traded back online. They'll be relisted there.
They have talked today about. They're going to be looking for strategic financing, strategic investment. To really accelerate their strategy. And actually, obviously, the shift in the strategy has been to focus on, specific markets and specific technologies, which mainly means it's sort of two-wheel, four-wheel light vehicles in India and Asia-Pacific. And pulling out, not necessarily pulling out, but there's sort of technology transfer deals with its marine and heavy truck businesses. So, yeah, they are on the cusp of something big, but just it's something they need a bit of cash to make that happen.
I don't know what this bids that came out with. That's a car crash of a company. I mean, the things.
Yeah, done, Fox Marble. Marble.
It's changed, hasn't it? So
Eco Buildings.
Yeah, that's down. They've restoration. Their final results, I think, October the 18th was final results. And October the 19th was interim results. But where are they at with it? I looked down here, thought, well, what's going on here? Because they've really just changed the name, but revenue of 32 grand. What is going on here? Have they got any money? This is the end of June. When did they change? Because they've got cash of 638 grand there. And I don't know, did they raise money or something? I don't know what the story is here. I saw some people promoting it, talking about it, ramping it, call it what you will on Twitter.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, people don't understand this. It's going to go up, and then obviously it's been delisted, and now it's restored. It's dropped.
I mean, modular home construction. Yeah. I need to have more of a look at it. It is an area. I think. I mean, this should be an area that's really, really fast growing. Mm-hmm. We have a housing shortage in this country. In fact, we have housing shortages in many countries. Yeah. And what you need to do is build houses as quickly as possible. We still put them up with bricks and there are other solutions. You can build houses with kits very, very quickly, very sort of environmentally, friendly, not necessarily friendly, but they're efficient. A lot of passive houses built this way. Passive houses meaning that they're essentially self-sustaining in terms of heat and power. This should be a growth area. The big house builders have got small ventures in this area, but yeah. So I'm gonna have a look at this. I'm intrigued, but I'm not necessarily sure this is the one. But I suspect we'll see more of this in future.
Gear for Music, which is did you notice that G4M? Did you notice that Tune or Focusrite came out with some results yesterday?
Yeah, I missed them.
It didn't do well. I mean, it did say I think a bit of a weakening in the market there, but they sort of dropped down yesterday. And they're in a downtrend. Tune, and worth keeping an eye on because they are good business. So for G4M, what's happening there?
G4M Gear for Music. Again, it's just very soft trader, particularly in Europe. The gear for music is where musicians go to get their kit, basically. I've shopped there quite a bit myself. It's a very, very good shop. And Focusrite is a slightly different business. Gear for Music is a retailer, sell stuff from everyone, including Focusrite. Focusrite makes
So it makes more.
Yeah, it makes like sound cards and synthesizers and that sort of stuff. Yeah. But you know, they're both in the same space. I'd rather own Focusrite because you know they have that intellectual property. Whereas Gearful Music is, you know, say they're not the only company out there doing this, although they are very good, and I have shopped with them quite a few times.
Yeah. So where are they at? They're at in restoration as we're live. See, I just got a live notification that Saeta is now relisting, restored. Okay. There we are. Right, that's a second. That's why you need to download the Vox Markets app because you know, as soon as you're, 12:30. Oh, it's 12:30. Here we are. So let's share prices reacting here. Okay, we're even too early for the chart. 29th December. Where's it going to jump in here somewhere? But we're even too early for that. That's how good the RNS. If you want a better example of why you should get the Vox Markets app for free, notifications straight away telling you when things are happening.
Just going back to Gearful Music. It's been tough. You know, their shares are. Yeah,
well, you can see that.
And are pretty much back there anyway. Yeah. And you would have had, you know, actually, as I know, there was a huge trend, you know, during lockdown.
Yes.
The people, you know, buying this sort of stuff, you know, it's like turntables and, you know, learn the guitar, you know, start making electronic music. So, you know, we're gangbusters, but it's all slowed down.
I hated that in lockdown. All these imbeciles on Instagram or whatever, see, just showing off. I've learned the guitar from scratch in 6 weeks. Have you? Well, I've eaten about 20 packs of biscuits. So what?
You know? So, I mean, you could argue, you know, the slowdown we're seeing now is partly because of, you know, the fact that these are discretionary items and life's got a bit tougher, but also because a lot of demand was pulled forward from the future, potentially, you know.
So they've got...
You don't need 10 guitars. Once you've got one, you've got one. Well, that's how people do have 10 guitars.
Yeah, exactly. And you only need to throw one out rather than 10 after the fad's passed. But total revenue, $62 million for the year, down 6%. Listen, they have got net debt reduced by 3.7 to $18 million there. So they lose money. Stronger than European revenues, UK expectation of a normal H2 weighted trading seasonality, well prepared ahead of the peak seasonal trading period. Fully outlook remains in line. In line?
Yeah, right. It's okay. I mean,
here we go. Sorry, there's sorry. Market expectation for the year 161, EBITDA of 9.8, profit before tax of 1.2.
Yeah. Online retailer, fairly low margin. Yeah. Doesn't have a huge defensive moat, which you could argue that Focusrite does. Mm. Had that demand pull forward from the future, so you know, suffering a bit. As you know, what we do want to see is a return to normal, and it's trimmed its cost base to you know, accordingly, which you also want to see. Moving into the second hand market as well, which is, you know, potentially very lucrative. Second hand synths is worth a lot of money. Second hand guitars can be worth a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of second stuff. It's got a place, it's a company called Vint, isn't it, or something like that, do vintage clothing and all that. They're the leader now. They're just really big into that kind of stuff. But recycling and all that's a big area.
Yeah, big
stream. I mean, if there's ever a reason why you should just put a 200-day moving average on a chart, look at that. Okay, rally there, you could go in there and you held on. But look at the 200-day moving, nowhere near it. On the way up, look at that. It spent over, what, April 20. That's the lockdown look. And then realized, in fact, people may be buying music interest. April 20, it didn't touch the 200-day moving average till October 21. It broke down below it, went down up again. And now look, where are we now? You say, okay, so if you'd got in, say, even on here, you've been down, up, but it broke up nicely there. It'd be a lot more painful than getting it up here, up here, here. So it's worth looking at that. Anything else or anything, any company news worth looking at?
I can't remember off the top of my head. The numbers out today, just sort of give you a high level picture of the markets and, you know, as you'd expect.
Any good?
I mean, these numbers, it's defensive, you know, it makes really good money out of, you know, sort of data, analytics, that sort of stuff. Markets are soft. And you saw that in the statement today. But there's enough, you know, within the group to really sort of keep it ticking along.
Yeah. We're in a range there, pretty much. Look at that. It's done very well. Look at, I mean, if you look at that, you can expect that. Look at this. That chart's phenomenal, brilliant. Look at that.
Yeah.
You see, it broke down here. Then from what? Where are you? 2009, pretty much. £4 a share, and you're hang on. Don't buy the stocks on the market. Buy the companies that are actually, you know, carry the data for the markets. That's where the gold is.
Yeah, my big worry about this company is that actually, you know, that the restrictions they place on the use of market data is, you know, quite significant. And it is, I would argue, you know, certainly oligopolistic.
Yeah.
The financial data market, and it's, you know, extremely expensive, and it, you know, sort of keeps people out of the market, you know, keeps people in the dark potentially. So I do worry about that, but that share price has been supported by, you know, takeover speculation for a long, long time.
Yeah, exactly. I see the advertising a lot on CNBC. I don't know why that is. I've seen it. Emmy, Justin, are you still sure about the Santa Claus rally? Absolutely. I couldn't be more sure about anything. this is what I think, right? The fact we've had a sell-off when we're in the doldrums in September, October sets us up because we're oversold. And so even if it's a bounce to normality, back to normal levels, or nowhere near normal levels, you know, back to, say, level 6 months ago, there's a rally there. Or we continue to go down, and literally we get down at levels on AIM we've not seen since 2012, which is ridiculous. Or we could be not far from that anyway. Phil says, busy day at work, so I haven't looked properly at H&L trading update. Or Phil holds some of these. Long term, I still like them. Yeah. Revenue up, still patiently build a position. I told you, wait till the train goes up. It's in a range. It's broken down below that range. So you've got to be more patient, or you wait for the trend to go up. But, you know, if it's paying a dividend, I suppose, as long as it doesn't go down further than the dividend, you're okay.
I do think that, you know, the sentiment towards it is overcooked.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see that AJ Bell is, you know, is picking up business from across the market. But then, you've got the whole SJP St. James's Place thing going on as well. And, you know, I know people who are switching from SJP into Hargreaves. So,
So we looked at AJ Bell as well, Phil, who is a competitive thing. It's a bit smaller, of course, but their figures were better, and their chart, they rose today. Whereas you can see Hargreaves, you know, it's even on the bottom of the ranges there, it's now dropped out down to another range.
It's on track to do, you know, pre-tax profits of 414 million this year, PE of 11 times earnings.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got patience, it's fine. All I keep saying, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, fundamentally, obviously look at companies, then just put notes on the chart and wait, because it's just an efficient allocation of capital. It could go down again further. You never know with these markets. It doesn't, you know, some of them no rhyme or reason. Like I said, selling begets selling. You keep getting redemptions. All that will happen. It just will continue to spiral downwards. So
no, you're right,
just
you're right.
Wait until the trend goes up and money inflow comes in. You know?
I'm not a chart-driven trader, but I do make you right on this. I do, you know, the more we talk, the more I'm coming around to the idea that actually, they're very good at helping you time entry points and exit points.
Yeah. Okay. And what else was there? One other bit. By the way, look at this. This is a think tank, John, says the UK should consider the Bank of England raising targets to 3% inflation targets rather than 2% where they are. Since it gives them more leeway if it's 3%, so they can raise it more. I think, what that doesn't make any sense to me. It's just moving the goalposts, is it? Why don't you just put them up to 7% and then we're okay? We're under inflation targets. It's like, I don't understand the logic of that. If you've got a 3%, surely next time inflation goes up, they'll say, why don't we just put up to 3.5% or 4%? Just keep moving the goalposts around. Anyway.
I guess the Resolution Foundation is an anti-poverty think tank.
Yeah.
Mainly, so you know, all they're doing is chucking ideas out there. This crisis has been, you know, it's been disastrous the last.
Yeah, yeah, but wouldn't that know, hurt people 5 years more?
But that's what they're exploring. I'd have to have a read, but you know, presumably their thinking is this will make the pain that a large proportion of society have had to bear less intense.
I suppose because they're saying the Bank of England wouldn't have to raise. Interest rates so high, but inflation could then take off even further. I think they need to go back to their tank and do a bit more thinking. All right. House price rises by the smallest amount since 2012. That's not a big deal. They're still rising. It's not like when a property, you know, collapses, is it? They're still rising. You know, they haven't really dropped. And they come off a frothy top. They haven't really dropped. And then there's all the stuff about thing. Nokia's. Have you noticed now there's a lot of job cutting from Rolls-Royce to Nokia? Mm. And you're starting to get this to stay in profit. And that happens at the bottom of the market. You get a lot of people losing jobs. And this is what's happening right now. And that's what the central banks won't admit that. But of course, the less people spending,
they will admit it. I mean, that's they're keeping their eye on the jobs market, presumably. That's the most important thing. Well, I saw some data while I was Yeah. And I was away. You know, UK wage growth is, you know, powering ahead.
Yeah, but it's a lag factor, isn't it? People get you know, wage increases based on inflation. And so they're saying, you know, if you go back like a month, inflation, or 2 months, inflation was like 8% or something. So they're saying we want wages at least close to 8%. So they get them at 7.8. But now inflation's at 6.5. So going forward, you have a hard job convincing your boss to give you, you know, a wage increase of 10% when inflation is only 6.7. Mm. So that it steps in line with that, doesn't it? You know, yeah, and so yeah. Good thing.
Yeah. Anyway, this also, if you remember, we spoke about Spirent last week, and yeah. I can't remember the name of the other telecoms testing company that we'd have from. This is, you know, no surprise at all. Yeah. Just talking about, you know, job cuts. I mean, that's what Gear for Music have done. You know, very, very, yeah. very, you know, large cost savings through redundancies.
Yeah, I just want to see what all is doing, because that's a little bit worrying. Oh no, in fact, it did have a spike up there after the Saudis and the Russian side, you know, stopping the supply a little bit or cutting back the supply, but it's come back. Everyone thought this Middle East problem, if it gets out of control, that could really take it up. But it's not going crazy, but that's it. It does look
Well, it seems that everyone is doing, well, certain people are doing what they can to stop that situation worsening. Yeah. Because it has the potential to very much worsen. The most worrying thing I've seen for a long time.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've read a couple of times. Yes, set targets looks like Justin. Yes, thank you, Simon. I have 261 set. Oh, hang on. Do you know what? Let's have a competition with Simon. This is how many I've got set. You beat me. I've got 164. Wow. No, yeah, 164. I'll show you. Then. I'll show you my notes. Yeah, John.
See your price targets.
Yeah, no, so I set alerts on trend, basically. Because if I like a company, fundamentally, I take print through the spreadsheet and everything that, and I look at the chart, and it's in a downtrend, I think, okay, let's not jump in now. I'll put alerts on it, and then I'll forget about it, do some research on something else. And then all of a sudden, you know, it could be take 3 to 6 months, maybe. And then you realize your timing is a bit better then. You think, okay, it's now starting to bottom out, come round. I'm going with the money inflow, not the money outflow. Mm. And so that's AJ Bell. Look, so there's an example of AJ Bell's four there, all-time low resistance, 50-day moving average crossing 200-day moving average. That's an example. So, and if you look at AJ Bell, I mean, you know, that as yet is not convincing that it's stopped that sort of downtrend there. It may have bounced on that level, but just wait, a bit of patience. I said before, the problem I've ever had with investing is I've had lack of patience. I've never thought to myself, oh, I've had too much patience there. That's never been the problem. It's always pretty much lack of patience, you know. Anyway, anything else? Yeah, no, that's not a bad thing, is it? Yeah. What's your price target on Silver Bullet? £4. I don't want to talk about Silver Bullet. I'll do anything on Silver Weekend on my own channel, but I really like them, as you probably know. Anyway, thank you very much, everyone. Don't forget, like I said, this is it's all free, pretty much, this stuff. So to support us, you know, download that app, because you will love it, and you will thank us later that you download it. Is this free? Yes, it's free. It's the best app out there. And if you could like, share, and subscribe, and we'll be back tomorrow, last day of the week. God, it's been a short week for you, John, isn't it? Hey,
yeah, brilliant week. It didn't feel like a short week 6 hours into the trip back from Wales.
No, exactly. All right, marvellous stuff. Thank you so much. See you on. Bye 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 bye.
See you later. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.